been a long time since I've done this, so I have to knock off a little rust. I apologize. I talked to Rex last week about this, and he said as long as I keep it under 2 hours, we're good. So, while thinking about the invitation, I was thinking about what are we afraid of as people. Many things come to mind, and you know, there's creepy crawly things like spiders and snakes and bugs, dark places, cancer, overall death. But mostly what that all is to us is often the unknown. And in reality, there's really only one thing we should be afraid of. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 10. And we'll begin there. We're going to read verse 28. It's a familiar passage to all of us, but it's something to bear in mind as to what we should truly be afraid of. Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And of course, this verse is speaking directly about God the Father in heaven. This is something that we should all be very aware of and should always be thinking about on a daily basis. Because it's also the thing that I believe Jesus feared. Stay in Matthew and turn to Matthew 27. And we'll see an example of what I was talking about here. This is when Jesus is actually nailed upon the cross. I don't really think Jesus was very afraid of anything we could do to him as people. He could have called down, as we sung before and talked about today, legions of angels that could have rescued him from his situation here. But in Matthew 27, verse 28... Sorry, wrong spot. I wrote the wrong verse. Verse 46. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Really what this verse, I think, is talking about is his impending separation from God. And most of us don't really think about this, but if you turn over to John 1, we'll see that Jesus has never known a time when he was not with God. John 1, verses 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." These verses are speaking directly about Jesus' position in the beginning of time. In fact, before time began as humans know it, Jesus was there with God, performing whatever God needed at that time, but he was still part of God in the beginning. And then we see later on in Luke 2, Luke 2 and verse 49, this is when Jesus is actually on earth, but he's a young child. 2:49 says, "How is it that you search for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So even at a young age, as a human being, Jesus had God with him all the time. He still had not known any separation from God. So he's transitioned from the spiritual world to the human condition, but he's still with God. This is furthered along in Matthew 17. And this is towards the end of his life, and it's another very familiar passage. It's the Transfiguration story, but I'll read from verses 1 through 5. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain alone and was transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Again, this shows the presence, his presence with God, because we know that in the Old Testament, when Moses went before God on the mountain, his face shone, and Jesus shone before Moses and Elijah appeared. So he was in the presence of God again. So all through his life, he never knew the separation from God. But in the end, when he was nailed to that cross and he took on our sin, he was going to be separated from God. I think that was utterly terrifying. I think if any of us could remember back, the only way we could remember it would be like when we were born. We were in our mother's womb, and then we're out, and then we're not with her anymore until she comforts us. And I think that's the separation Jesus had. And then also, and this leads me to people of today. People talk about an afterlife, and they talk about shades of gray. And what they really mean by this is, I get to interpret things. And what that means to me is, or what I've heard often from them is, I'm a good person. I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. I don't kill anybody. I don't hurt anybody. I'm okay. Don't judge me. Or I've heard, I'm spiritual. I go to church sometime. I occasionally do something, or I believe in the Quran, or I believe in Hindu, or some other spiritual type religion. But of course, this is all just a lie born of Satan. There are no other options but Jesus Christ. We know this because of John 14, verse 6. It's very specific as to the path to get to heaven. There is only one way. And in John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And because of this, we know that because Jesus says he is the only way, that also means there is no other way. So anybody who tries to tell anybody that there is some other path or multiple ways, they're lying. And that's straight out of Satan's playbook. His playbook knows exactly how to twist the words. He always changes just one word of a Bible verse, and then it becomes something totally different. That's Satan's plan, to trick us. Stay in John and look at verse 15, and this is also part of what Jesus was just saying, and this backs it up. 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is telling us that we must be in him. There is no other way. It's a strict line. that we have to be on one side or the other. You're either with him or you're against him. If you're not a vine, you're going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. Turn over to Matthew. We're going to go back there. Matthew 7. And this explains that the pathway that we must take. Enter at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who are going through it. Because small is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. A preacher friend of mine once explained this way. He said, this narrow way is so narrow that if you were to turn sideways, you would still get cut and scraped. And you would have to groan to force your way through this narrow gate. With that in mind, think about that. When we struggle for what God wants, the path that we need to be on, we get cut and we get bruised and we get scraped. But there's always an out, and God will always provide that. And sometimes Jesus has to grab our hand and pull us through the narrow way. It's very important to remember, though, that it is the narrow path. And if we look at our world, there are so many churches out there nowadays. So many. Last I heard, there was about 40,000 denominations in the United States. It's an incredible number. But are they preaching this book? Only this book? Or are they adding to it or taking away from it? Stay on Matthew 7 and turn to look at 21 and 23. Because that, with that in mind, this is one of the scariest verses to me in the Bible. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? But then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice evil. It's a sobering verse. That's why we must always examine what we're doing, make sure that we're striving to do the will of God. Because we could easily fall into the trap and be kicked out of the goal if we choose to add to or take away. In closing, I have a little story that's probably heard before, but I'm going to use it to illustrate a point. There was a man on a roof, and around him the floodwaters were rising, slowly creeping up his house. And a man on a log comes by and says, jump off the roof into the water with me, and you can get on the log with me, and we'll sail down until we find dry land. The man says, no, the Lord will provide. A little while later, the water's almost to the roof level. A man in a boat comes by and says, get in the boat, I'll take you to shore. The man says, no, the Lord will provide. Finally, the man's up to his ankles in water. A helicopter comes by, drops down a ladder, says, grab the ladder, climb up, we'll fly you to safety. The man says, no, the Lord will provide. He swept down the river and dies. Well, he gets to heaven and he says, Lord, I don't understand. I trusted in you and you didn't save me. God says, well, I sent a guy on a log, a guy on a boat, a guy on a helicopter. Why didn't you grab one of them? In life, God always sends us a lifeline when we need it. We don't always grab it. Sometimes we think we're smarter. Unfortunately, many of us will smart ourselves right into hell because we don't follow the path, grab the lifeline, and go to heaven. That lifeline is really, really simple. Any one of us can do it. No, it's not that hard. But you must hear the word. We do that every Sunday here, and we also do it on Wednesday nights. You have to believe in the word. Nobody can make you do this, but you have to. You must repent of your sins. You must confess that Jesus is Lord. Because as I just said, he's the only way. There is only one path. If you're not in Jesus, you are not going to heaven. And you must be baptized in water. Not as a baby, not sprinkled. A good full Dunkin'. But I don't know if any of you need a lifeline tonight. Jesus offers that. And we offer to help you in any way that we can. Or if you've strayed, got off that narrow path because it just hurt a little too much one day, we also offer that opportunity. We'll go ahead and be led in our closing song, and please make your needs be known, and we'll take care of it tonight.